Sunday night, Yom Aleph L'Parshas Ha'azinu, the fifth shiur of Elul, and the 12th shiur in Perek Dalet. Le'ilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson. In the page Kuf Mem Zayin, I don't know, again, he's talking about people who want to be wealthy. He just got through explaining people who want to be wealthy because they want kavod, and he said it's not a real kavod. And then he said sometimes people get money in a specific way. They win the lottery and this, and you have to be very careful to attribute it to Hashem, not to the thing that seems to have made you rich. Okay, and we're up to the words. What do you do if when Parnassah is not working out? And he's giving now, this perek is practical applications of bitachon, and he talked about bitachon lagabe sustenance, and he talked about bitachon lagabe having more than your needs. One day we're going to have a shiur in what you need, how to determine what your needs are. Because if you ask 100 people what are your needs, they'll give you 100 different answers. People, right, so what is your need? So the Chavis Avodas, you know, he gives us the rule. You can do hishtadlus for your needs, but you can't go beyond that. But what are your needs? Right? So we'll talk about that one day, Belin Adam. But now he moves on, and he says, how do you apply bitachon? What should be your mental attitude and feelings? What does the Baal bitachon, again, application. What does the Baal Bitachon do when Parnassah is not working out? And, you know, unfortunately, we all know people like that. They're banging their heads against the wall and they're not making ends meet. And maybe they have to even take stucco or loans from family members just to keep it going. We know people like that. So what does the Baal Bitachon say to himself? Umimash Roy Shioma Blibo Abateach Al Hashem B'Parnassoso. In this Akva Parnasoso Ba'achad Hayomim, so first he talks about a person has in this next piece, he's talking about a person has a dip. He's undergoing a rough period. He's not talking about now the person that doesn't see any end in sight. He's talking even, you know, you're having, you know, a person has a store, and this season was slow. Right, or the last 3 weeks, he doesn't know how he's going to make the next mortgage payments. Like it's been slow. He's talking about like a period of slowness. So, he says like, Chavis is going to train us how to think. He goes like, get a hold of yourself. Like, the world didn't come to an end. Hashem is still there. Hashem is watching you. And he says, he should say, ki, he says, wait a second, asher hotziyani ala olam hazeh bizman mesuyam, ba'es mesuyam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me at a certain point in time. I'm not living at the time of the Crusaders, I'm not living at the time of the American Revolution, I'm not, Hashem, Hashem wanted me to be living at this point in time. Okay? Bizman Musuyim, the Ace Musuyim. Velohotzi Aci A love Lafana Vola Akhrib. Right, I have a neshama. Hashem sent my neshama down to this world. Hashem picked a very specific point in time that this neshama could come down to the world. So every time frame is meaningful. So at this time in my life, this is what Hashem wants. This is what's good for me for some reason. Maybe I can't fathom it. So Hashem is in control still. Hashem does everything. Hashem, that's what you're supposed to think of. Wait, I'm having a slow period now, but I had Parnassah yesterday, and hopefully Mr. Hashem will have Parnassah in the future. It's not like, where'd Hashem go? Just like Hashem created you at a specific... Hashem, everything's measured. Hashem has a cheshbon for everything he does. And you have to think, you know, I was born at this point in time. I was born in this country. I was born to these parents, he's going to say, you know. Everything is b'cheshbon. Hashem gave you two sets of parents, you know, because he wanted to produce a certain person, and my father treated me this way, and my mother treated me this way, where I'm living, not in the time, Hashem knows that this neshama couldn't handle having to work on the farm. Hashem knows that this neshama couldn't handle not having air conditioning. I guess that's the goof. Right? So I was born at this point in time, and I was born at a point in time when it's not so difficult to live in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Anyway, it's b'cheshbon. Hashem has a cheshbon for everything he does. Nothing slips by him. Nothing happens. He has a reason. So, Asher Hotziani al Olam Hazeh, the same one who produced me and brought me into this world, Bizman Mesuyam, Uve'es Mesuyam, V'lo Hotzi Eisi Elav L'fona B'liachrov. It's not by chance that I was born right in 1952. Hashem considered and said, no, 1951 wouldn't be quite right. And to be born in New Jersey wouldn't have been quite right. This neshama, we really have to internalize the idea that everything that happens to us, everything's with a cheshbon. So who Hashem, that same Hashem that maybe be born right, in this city and not in that city, and in this point in time, not in a different point in time, who Hashem ma'akim imeni parnasasi, so Hashem has chosen to giving me this. Now this applies not just to money. This applies to illness. This applies to problems one's undergoing with children or with relationships with neighbors or friends or downturns. Instead of getting depressed, if we're talking about events that happen that you can't do much about, if that's the case, obviously it's part of normal hishtadlus if there's something you can do about it. But he's saying, Hashem has decided to give me this nisayon at this point in time. Who Hashem ma'akim many parnasos. So again, he just uses parnaso throughout the shara, as we've discussed many times. But this applies to anything in a person's life. Any downturn in life, whether it's a difficulty, it could be difficulties. We all know it could be difficulties in so many areas. There's so many areas it could be difficulties. Who Hashem ma'akim imeni parnasasi ades yodua v'yom yodua v'yodua Hashem ma'atim. Hashem knows that it's best for me to have this aggravation now, and I have to cope with it. You don't say, "Oh, I'm supposed to have this aggravation now," and Hashem wants me to cope with it. Hashem wants me to deal with it. Maybe he just wants you to have bitachon. Maybe he wants you to be mechazik your emunah and say, I know Hashem is doing this and I know he's doing it. And think big. Think like, whoa, like, why was I born when I was born? And why was I born where I was born? Hashem had a cheshbon for that. So Hashem has a cheshbon. Hashem only bothers with the big things, not with the small things. Don't think that way. That's what he wants. That's how the Baal Bitochon thinks. Who Hashem makim v'imcheinim bolo? Okay. Who Hashem makim imeni panasasi ades yodua v'yom yodua b'yodo es Hashem matimli. Hashem knows. V'cheinim bolo panasaso b'shiur she'enu odefes klum al kalkoloso. He's barely making ends meet. Now he's talking about the guy that he's alive. You know, I'm talking about someone that starved to death, or someone that's starving to death, but someone who's not making ends meet, or barely making ends meet. And maybe he has to take stocker, maybe he has to take loans from people. So what is he supposed to think? Hashem forgot about him. How is he supposed to feel? We say, Pseches yodechol nazbiel l'chol chayratzon. It's like, what happened to me? Like, I was online, what happened? Roi loy lachsho belibo belomar. So he this is how he should direct his thoughts. He says, you know, he says, when you were in your mother's womb, he says, think about yourself in your mother's womb. Who supported you there? You were pretty helpless, weren't you? You were helpless. And Hashem made sure you had what you needed. Ki asher zimengli, and it came in like this, in a weird way, right? Didn't come in the normal way. Right? It's one of the pilei habria, the sustenance of the fetus in the womb. It grows and it gets nourishment and how it eats. We say shimmy paseach echad mehem, boi yisusei echad mehem. Right? When a person is born, the things that were open close, the things that were closed open. So that's what you should think about. If you have trouble, if you think Hashem can't provide you, like he's having trouble, think about when you were totally helpless and you survived. You got what you needed. Ki asher zimeni mazoni b'shdeimi, in my mother's womb, bereshus matzavi, kfitzarki b'shir kaklos, like I had what I needed. I made it. B'shir kaklos yom b'yomo, ad asher henikli b'mekomo yoser tov mimenu, below hizikani b'me'uma hayoso kosuv, the fact that it was limited, but I had what I needed. There's no bank there. You don't put money in the bank. You don't put food away for the next day in the refrigerator. So, kach, just like there, Hashem saw to it that I wasn't harmed and that I had what I needed to survive. And that's all I did. I only survived it. But he took care of me there for 9 months. And I grew and I had what I needed. Kach, lo yazikeni b'me'uma, bo ha parnoso hazu asher havirani aleho ato ketsuva kfitzorki at sofi mechayay. So if I'm barely making ends meet, I'm in a struggle for survival, but I'm not in any more of a struggle. If you think about it, he says, you're not in any more of a struggle. You couldn't possibly be more in a struggle for survival than when you were in your mother's womb, when you were totally helpless. And Hashem made sure that you pulled through. That's really all that's happening there. You're pulling through. You can't do anything. You're at the mercy of anything. You can't. There's nothing you can do. And Hashem fed you. Hashem made sure it worked. Hashem made sure you got the sustenance you needed. So if Hashem decided now that I should just only survive, okay, it's the same Hashem. The same Hashem that sustained me in those 9 months, so he's sustaining me now. And he has decided that this should be my matzav now. The Yekabel Gmul Tov Al Kach. Although this says it's a tremendous nisayon. It's a very big nisayon. Not to feel that Hashem abandoned you. Not to feel that Hashem forgot about you. Not to feel that Hashem is punishing you. He says it's a nisoyon, and yikabel gmul tov al kach, just by having the mental attitude that Hashem is giving you enough to survive, and you're okay with that. You're not bitter. You're not angry. I'm surviving. Baruch Hashem, I'm surviving. You know, I'm not dead. I'm living. You know, maybe it's hard. You know, it's not harder than it was in the womb, right? We were fed intravenously, whatever we'll call it. He says, and this is the lesson of the mon. Kamo she'omar Hashem yisala al avoseinu b'midbar, they just survived. They weren't allowed to leave. We think, hey, the mon, geshmak, and they got it every day. Yeah, but he says, they survived. They didn't, at night, there was no money in the bank at night. There was no food in the cupboard. And what's more normal than to put leftovers in the refrigerator? And then someone says, do you have food for tomorrow? You say, you know, Baruch Hashem, I didn't make ends meet, but I got some leftovers from Shabbos, so we're going to eat Sunday night. They couldn't do that by the month. Go over for the next day. Every day was like, oh man, what's going to be today? And Hashem made sure they had what they needed to survive. This was their matzav. They were like babies in the womb. They survived. Hashem... Every day they got food from Shemayim. They got food. Kmo she'omar, because of Yotzo Amar Lotu Dvaryom B'Yomo. Every day. For Omar, and this is a tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael. He now that he's talking about the Midbar in this way, he's really going back to when he said the Kabel Gmul Alzeh, that big nisayon. No one's saying this is easy. But remember, we're in the fourth parak of Shaar B'Tacha now. Hopefully, we've used Chayvus Halvavus as a workbook. That's what we said all along. Remember, from day one, this is a workbook. It's not a Musa Sefer, it's a workbook. So if you've developed your B'Tachon the way he describes in Perek Beis and Gimel, how to develop B'Tachon, so now you're a Baal B'Tachon, so you're going to be able to do it, and you'll get your Schar. This is the mitzvah, this is the closeness you'll feel to Hashem. You'll feel that Hashem's holding you by the hand and, you know, taking care of you. And that's why by the Mon, Haloch for Karaso, Bosni, Yushalayim, Lemar, why does Chavis Lovus bring in this Pasuk for? He brings it in to support what he just said, the Kabul Gemul al Zeh. This is no small thing. But you can do it, and Hashem will reward you for it, and Hashem looks at Klal Yisrael that accepted the Mon and the Midbar. He's saying a big chiddush. You could say this over to your husbands. He's saying a big chiddush. We look at this pasuk and we think it means, I mean, I did up until right now, that the pasuk is talking about that they went into the Midbar and Mitzrayim. They left Mitzrayim and they went into the Midbar, and they didn't say how we're going to eat. But the Chavis Halvavus obviously is talking about their reaction to the Mon. That's what he's saying. He brings down the Mon. He's saying the Mon is that situation where you're barely making ends meet and you're just surviving. And they, and then he says, the Omar and the Pasuk goes on to say, the Pasuk says, Halok for Karoslo Bozni Yushalayim Leymor, Ko Omar Hashem, Socharti lo Chesed Neurayich, Avas Klu lo Soyich, Lechte Chachrei Bamidbor Beretz lo Zeruah. So he's saying, he's not talking about their, you know, burst of faith when they followed Moshe into the Midbar. He's obviously understanding that it means the whole time. The whole time was Zacharti lo chesed neurayich. Even, not even, after the Mon came, but the way the Mon came, and they couldn't save anything for the next day, and they couldn't have any extra food. I know, you couldn't have a bigger portion. You could, you know, you want it to taste like pizza, but you can't get two slices, right? You only had your Omer Lagulgolas, right? You couldn't take more. You couldn't ask for two slices. This is a tremendous insight the Chavis HaLavis is giving us. We think it was geschmack in the Midbar. I mean, they had a bitachon, of course, of the Mon every day, but now we're learning the Chavis HaLavis, they survived. They didn't have any extra. You don't think of it that way, because it tastes like what you want it to. So I want it to taste like a pastrami sandwich, you know, with pickle and lettuce and tomatoes. But you only had one piece. You only had the Omer Lagugolas, he says. He's comparing it to the baby in the womb. It just survived. That's all that could be said for it. All that could be said for the baby. The baby doesn't, like, put money in the bank, doesn't put food in the refrigerator. The baby survives. So he only survived in the Midbar. That's all. But they don't, you know, okay, Hashem's making me survive. Oh, wow, thank you. Like, this is how he wants me to live right now. That's how he wanted them to live in the Midbar. And they pierced in the Soyon. He's saying it's not easy. It's not easy. It's mamish not easy. But you're going to get Tzchar, and just like Hashem, look at the way Hashem describes their having the Mon. This is all 40 years. Lech Techach Rebbe Midbar Beretz Lo Zeruah is not when they made that leap and followed Moshe into the Midbar. It's the whole 40 years of dealing with the Mon and being able to not to maintain the faith in Hashem. I think it's a chiddush. I never thought about the Mon that way. They just survived. So they didn't have any extra. Not just they couldn't leave over for the next day in order to develop their bitachon, but even they were only at subsistence level. I'm saying the word wrong. I apologize. They were only at, what's the word? Subsistence? Subsistence level. Thank you. We don't think of the Mon that way. Wow, that's what Chavis HaLavus is saying. That's all. They were like babies in the womb. They lived from one day to the next. Not just they didn't have left over for the next day, but that's all. They just lived.
They were satiated. It wasn't like they were always like a little bit hungry.
And the Chanami. He's talking about the person that, again, like, is scraping by. I'm not talking about the person that doesn't have enough and, you know, which will eventually stop the death if it keeps going like this. Okay. So that's how you deal with that situation. He moves on now. He's going to the next situation. V'cheinim bo lo parnasoso b'sibu zu v'lo b'sibu acheres. Let's say, you know, your parnasa is coming to you in a very specific siba. Something like, you know, you invested in stocks and the stocks went up. You moved to Australia and you bought a mine and there were diamonds there. It's very specific. So what he's addressing, that it's very easy to fall into a trap, right? Just like the people said, you know, if the guy wouldn't have crashed into the World Trade Center, so they wouldn't have died at that moment. That's how we think. So if a guy has a very specific, unique, even form of parnasa, so it's very hard. He wants to teach us how to think about it, because it's very hard. It's hard to be able to honestly, sincerely say, well, if he wouldn't have won the lottery, he would have become rich in a different way, I'm quite confident. Or if he wouldn't have bought this stock that went up on a hot tip, he bought it, so he would have become rich anyway. Or if he wouldn't have invested in coal mine stocks, he would have gotten, if he wouldn't have been in Australia, like, so he says, no, you have to realize, Hashem decides the end result and then maneuvers life to produce the result. But if there would have, there are a million ways to maneuver life to produce the result. So he teaches you how to think. If you tried everything and it didn't work, and then you do something else, finally you have parnasa. So you're going to say to yourself, oh, the reason I didn't have parnasa till now is because I picked the wrong parnasa. And now, Baruch Hashem, I don't know about again. He says Baruch Hashem because he doesn't really mean what he's saying. He says, Baruch Hashem, now I went into this business, oh, I'm successful. He says, no. Hashem said that till now you shouldn't be successful, and now you should be successful. It's not what you did that did it. If you would have done it, it would have worked a different way. It happened because this is really, I mean, I'm going to give an example, but please don't. It's a topic of discussion, the example. But his next point is, B'mokom zeh v'lo ba'acher. Say, I didn't have parnasa in this place. And the person moves and he gets parnasa. So he says, man, oh man, the reason I didn't have parnasa is because I lived in place X and now I moved to place Y. But, you know, No. Which employer you have. Yoma Belibo, this is how you have to think. If this happens, and to you it's like so clear, you know, this is the Siba. You know, we talk the talk, but it's very hard to internalize. You know, you say, well, now I'm making money. I went into high tech. I gave up my high tech job. I went into plumbing. I made money, right? Or I left Eretz Yisrael, you know, just an example. And I went back to America. Now I'm making money. Or vice versa. Now I'm making money. Or I worked for the city and I wasn't making money, and now I work for a private employer and they make money. Kabbalah says no. When this occurs, train your mind. He's talking to the Baal Bitachon. We're talking Hilchos Bitachon. The person acquired Bitachon already from the previous Prakim. Now we're learning how to apply it. So he's telling you, this is what a Baal Bitachon thinks when these events occur. Right? That's what we've been learning now in the last few paragraphs. This is what a Baal Bitachon thinks when these events occur. Yomar Belibo, he should say to himself, ki asher bra'ani. Again, it's the same type of reasoning that you used before. Wait a second. Hashem made me a woman, or Hashem made me a man, or Hashem made me this tall, and Hashem gave me these physical attributes, the Torah, Hashem gave me a certain surah, Hashem gave me a certain tavnis, Hashem gave me a certain Torah, Hashem gave me certain tchunos hanefesh, Hashem gave me a certain personality, Hashem gave me a certain, you know, personality. Am I bouncy, cheery, you know, head counselor type? Or am I like not speaking unless spoken to type? Different personalities. We know people who are just as good or just as not good, and they are different in personality. Our own children, right? Our own children that have the same set of parents and grew up in the same house, and their personalities are exerah from Hashem. Hashem gives each neshama its personality because that's that neshama, and that's it has to do things, whether it's nisyonos or to perfect things. Or, so he says, so you think, wait, Hashem made me a certain way, and Hashem gave me certain personalities. Bilade shora tabnius vatzuros vatchunos latikunos matzavi. Hashem did it because this is what my neshama needs. So everything is measured, and everything happened a certain way, b'cheshbon. And everything happened in order to work on my soul. Every person is his own world. And I said the Shabbos on Shuvah Shirashi yesterday. Every person is living in his own world, and everything that's happening is happening in order to make the person a certain way. So Hashem chose that my parnosa should come in Australia, or in America, or in high tech, or in plumbing. But don't make the fundamental error of disassociating Hashem from what's going on in your life. Now you'll say, what's the difference? The difference is, well, first of all, that itself is the difference. But it's much deeper. No, are you thinking about Hashem, or are you just forgetting about Hashem? But if any of us, as we develop bitachon, we see that it makes a world of difference. It's not just a question of this moment, what I'm thinking. The person that thinks, okay, Hashem wanted, the person that says, I'm making parnasa now because I went into diamonds. And the person that says, Hashem wanted me to have parnasa now, and he's given me parnasa now through diamonds. That's not just a difference in whether you're bringing Hashem into your life or not. There's going to be very, very practical ramifications, right? Because then you go to the next logical step, right? In case being involved in diamonds involves fooling people, or talking people into buying things they can't afford, or working on Shabbos, or being in a non-sneous workplace. So once you've already set up Hashem as the one that's doing this to you, then you say, well, it can't be. Like, Hashem doesn't want me to do this. It can't be that Hashem's sending me my parnosa, that Hashem has chosen a parnosa for me that involves something no good. Right? So, or if a person may choose to say, again, this may choose to say, it can't be that Hashem is choosing a parnosa of me that involves me leaving Eretz Yisrael. A person can choose to say that. See, once you're about bitachon, and once you're saying to yourself, Hashem, who made me the height that I am, and gave me the IQ that I have, and gave me the personality that I have, so he has chosen for me to make parnosa through plumbing, right? It's not, wow, plumbing! You discovered you won the lottery. You didn't win the lottery. Hashem gave me money this way. It's a different world. And the ramifications will be endless. Endless ramifications. In case nisyonos come up, what you do with the money, how you feel if you then lose your job. Like, it has so many ramifications. It's a different worldview. And in Mela, it's not just You see what I'm saying? It's not just, Chokhmas HaLevavos is not just teaching us what to think about that particular item. And that it makes enough gemina, right? If a person says, I'm sick, I'm ill, or if Hashem wanted me to be ill now, it's a different thing. How you deal with it, how you treat it, how your attitude, if you get depressed, if you get down, if you kvetch, if you therefore talk lashon hara about others, because if you mope, if you don't daven now because you're disgusted, it's a whole different, your whole life is going to be different. It's not just a question of yes Hashem, not Hashem. Saying it's Hashem, it's going to determine your whole attitude towards it. And therefore, let's say this young man comes up on Shabbos, right? They'll go in and they finally make parnasa, right? All these stores you read about, right? That's because AMPM is open Shabbos. Let me believe for a moment these things that are being passed around. So because this store is open Shabbos, so the other stores can be open b'nisayon, right? And then they open Shabbos also, right? But if you say Hashem has chosen for me to have, let's say, parnasa b'tzimtzum, so well, He obviously doesn't want me to violate Shabbos, right? So, but people live the other way. Chavis Lov is very smart man. People live the other way. People attribute their source of parnasa to the thing that they see as providing, and therefore they do all sorts of things in business, and therefore they violate. They don't act properly. They're not acting properly. It's all because of the fundamental non-bitachon attitude. They don't see. They don't picture. They don't visualize that Hashem is sending them parnasa through this vehicle. They internalize what their senses tell them the reality is, that this vehicle is providing them with parnasa. So then they're free to make sure the vehicle works. They'll do this, they'll do that. But if they always think Hashem is giving me parnasa through this vehicle, so then if the vehicle involves something that Hashem obviously doesn't want you to do, of course you're not going to do it. Hashem surely doesn't want me to do this. Hashem surely doesn't want me to do that. So, who Hashem bochar, Hashem has chosen for me, getting back to what you're supposed to be saying, Hashem has chosen for me to be a certain height and weight. I don't know about weight. Hashem has chosen for me to be a certain height and to live in a certain place. So Hashem has chosen that I get parnasa, what's good for my neshama at this point in time, and this is the way I'm supposed to be earning money, and this is how much money I'm supposed to be earning. And Asher Otziani Ela Olam Azeh B'mokam B'suyim Bo, right? I could be living in Africa now. I could be living in who knows where. Hashem has chosen to put me in I was born in this city, and events had me move to Muncie, and then maybe I had a bechira to move to Eretz Yisrael, but certainly Hashem had to provide the right. Hashem had to provide the possibility that it could happen for me to be able to make that bechira. So Hashem wanted me to live in Eretz Yisrael. He says, just everybody's parents are designed. It's designed for them. It's not off the rack. Parents are not off the rack. Parents are custom made for that neshama that had to come to the world. Every time a neshama has to come to the world, Hashem has to make a cheshbon who that neshama's parents should be, in order that that neshama develop a certain way, that it should be what it's supposed to be, and have the nisyonos it's supposed to have, and the hashlama and the tikkun. Hashem picked who my parents should be. My father met my mother, and they had me. No. It's true that they met and they got married, but that I was born to them is not happenstance. Hashem paskind and decided that I should have these two parents, these two fundamental influences on me and on my life. So Hashem picked that. So Hashem picked how you should have your parnasa, and when you should have your parnasa, and how you should have your parnasa. So don't, if your parnasa pops up and it seems, oh, here and not here, or this way of earning a living and not that way of earning a living, it's so easy to fall into the trap of disassociating Hashem from it. Because, you know, seeing is believing. When I was in high tech, I wasn't earning money, and I became a plumber. I earned money. Plumbing gives you money. No. Don't fall into that trap. Hashem has decided that you should have money at this point in time, and therefore implanted certain ideas in your head, and therefore you went into high tech, and who knows, the whole high tech not earning money could be because you had to not make ends meet doing high tech. So Hashem maneuvered the whole world. You know, there was a Tana in the Gemara that says, can I please be rich? I'm poor. I can't stand it anymore. He died into Hashem. I want to be rich. Hashem says, no problem. No problem. I'll make you rich. But I'm going to have to go back to the beginning of the world, and the whole world's going to have to go back to Tohu Vavohu, and we're going to have to play out the whole thing again, and you'll end up rich. Is that what you want? Meaning, Hashem already made, so of course Hashem could have just made him rich. But the Gemara means what the Chavis HaLavis is saying. But the ramifications are mind-boggling. Because that Gemara is saying that everything that happened in the world, besides all the other billions and billions and zillions and quadrillion other things that were happening, everything in the world was happening to produce him being poor. And Hashem, everything, it was geared in that direction to produce that result. And if you want to be rich, okay, but we're going to have to, we're going to have to reboot. We're going to have to reprogram the whole computer. That's what he said. And tohu vavohu, that means it wouldn't have been enough to go back 10 generations. You say, what in the world did Noah have to do with this guy? I don't know the answer. Don't ask me. But if Hashem would have had to go back in the world and make the world tohu vavohu again for him to be rich, that means it wouldn't have been enough to go back to the days of Noah. Now you're talking about a time in the time of the Gemara. So we don't understand the Gemara. But you have to understand what the Gemara is saying. That's what it's saying. It's saying that it wouldn't have been enough to go back to Noah. There was something in the way the world functioned. Hashem is like overseeing everything. When Adam had Cain and Hevel, there was something in the world already. Forget about, I'm already too late. Hashem couldn't have gone back to Sheish Shemei Bereishis. Why didn't the Gemara say, you want to be rich? Okay. But I got to go back to Sheish Shemei Bereishis. No. Hashem, Mamash has, it's mind boggling. That's why I gave the drasha yesterday. Because if you want to, it's hard to grasp. The reason I was so impressed with that movie was because it gives a person a chance to mamish visualize this happening. Because it's hard to visualize. You say, oh, Hashem, Hashem. You want to visualize, that in 10 years down the line, you're supposed to marry a certain girl, so you want to visualize someone maneuvering events 15 years before. But the Gemara says Hashem maneuvered events from the beginning of the world, that this person should be poor. Mind-boggling. We can't grasp it, really. But that's what the Chavis HaLavis is saying here. Every person's parents is with a cheshbon. Not those two people met and had this child. So therefore, if Hashem... So think Hashem. Hashem wanted me to live in this city. Hashem wanted me to be rich at this point in time. It's not plumbing that made me rich. It's Hashem that made me rich. It's not Australia that made me rich. It's not the building that made me rich. It's not the Yerusha that made me rich. It's not the lottery that made me rich. It's Hashem. That's how the Baal Bitochon thinks. Who bochar li, Hashem picked everything with a cheshbon. So he picked when I should have my parnosa, where I should have my parnosa, validei odom, and through this employer, Hashem made him a siba to give me parnosa. So again, with this all finished, I can't stress this enough. You have to think about this. It's not just the frumkeit of saying Hashem. This will now color totally how you deal with everything that happens in your life. Because if you think it's the plumbing, then, right, so if someone, I don't know, if it's the plumbing, so then if another plumber opens up 2 blocks away, you go out of your mind. And you start talking Lashon Hara about him, and you start telling people don't use him, and if you use him, never call me again. There we are. And if you use him, then don't call me again. Don't call me when you have an emergency. But if you say, no, plumbing is me. Hashem has decided I should have parnasa now. So you say, another plumber opened up. So what? What's up with me? What do I care? Hashem made another plumber. Right, so it's a whole. The ramifications of thinking. It's not just think Hashem, rah rah rah. That would also be in itself a mitzvah to realize that Hashem is the source of everything. But it has very practical ramifications in dealing with any type of situation that arises. We're not living in this world. In that world, but when Shabbos, right? So if the garment industry is giving me parnasa, I got to work on Shabbos. But if Hashem is giving me parnasa through the garment industry, okay. But Hashem doesn't want me to work on Shabbos. So end of story. Okay. You want to hear something?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I have to run out today at 10 o'clock.
Okay. So I mean, it's maybe my next familiar. Where does Ein Mavul Yisrael fit in? How can we?
Adarabba. There's no. It's beautiful. There's no mazel. You mean, first of all, the inyan of mazel is a very difficult inyan because some gemaras imply that ain mazel Yisrael, that Hashem is directly dealing with us. So I don't even understand your question. It fits in beautifully with ain mazel Yisrael. And the problem in that other gemaras imply that there is an aspect of mazel, which has its own problem because it contradicts this Gemara. So that's a major topic in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So, but the way you asked the question, Adarabba, it's beautiful. Ein mazel Yisrael. Hashem is directly directing everything that happens to us.
And the other part of my question was, what's the whole concept of segulas? Like, we can change
it's a topic in itself. I would rather you have asked something else. So what's tefillah? Where does tefillah fit into all of this? Are we trying to change Hashem's mind? Hashem decided we should be born to certain. So what's tefillah? The truth is, the truth is that this is a tremendous boost to the power of tefillah. Because after you internalize all of this, and then Hashem comes along and tells you, but I want to tell you a secret. Despite everything you've just learned, but if you daven, that's part of the system. If you daven. Now sometimes, I mean, the Tana davened, and Hashem said, tohu vavohu. So sometimes that's the answer to our tefillah. That it's so fundamental in the world that tefillah doesn't help. But we're told that most of the time, that's the exception. The rule is tefillah, daven to Hashem, and that's part of the system. But you say, whoa, tefillah is so powerful, look what it overcomes. And adarabba, you develop, segulas is like an inyan in itself. What the heck is a segula? But the more, like, what the heck is a segula? But it's more of a question, what's tefillah? Right? Tefillah is a